Hello, everybody, and welcome to Speakers Corner. My name is Per Forsberg, and today I have the great pleasure to say welcome and hello to Izia Bazé. Hello, Izia.
Hello, hello. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Am I pronouncing your name right, or?
Yes, yeah, it's correct.
It's correct. Izia.
Yeah.
Izia.
No, I mean, I don't really care if it's not exactly the right
but pronunciation. What is the perfect way to say it, if you say it?
It's easier, like if it was a Z, not
easier.
S, yeah, easier.
Easier. National team runner in France, the French team, for quite many years now. And you are, where are you right now?
So right now I'm in Alès. It's in the south of France. A bit close to Montpellier, like for if you need a big city to picture it. So yeah, I'm spending quite a lot of time here. It's a nice place to train, not to train orienteering, but nice place to train, like physical training. And it's there are some small mountains nearby and nice weather as well. So it's a good combination.
Yeah. Is it some orienteering activity also? I mean, some clubs and persons who is practicing orienteering?
I actually don't know anyone doing orienteering close by. And yeah, there's not so many maps and almost no maps at all. But the great area of Plateau du Larzac, it's not famous, but it's maybe you saw some maps. It's this old yellow area with a lot of rock maze and many cliffs and stuff. It's only 1 hour and a half driving. So it's for France, it's not so far. We are used to drive like 1 hour and a half to go to training. So it's nice. Mm. But yeah, when I'm training here, it's mostly by myself for entering because there's not so many people training around.
But
that's why I'm also going quite often back to my parents' place in Lyon, where it's much easier to have technical trainings with a lot of maps and yeah, there is a training group in Lyon as well, so I can have coaches and maps and controls in the forest as well.
How is it the current situation right now in France with this pandemic, Izia?
Actually, right now, we don't have a lockdown anymore, but we have a curfew. So we have to be at home at 6 o'clock in the evening. But during the day, before 6 o'clock, we're allowed to travel however we want and where we want. And we had two lockdowns during 2020, and now they are over, but it's still some restriction.
Yeah. And how was the year for you? The last year, 2020 was a very strange year for all of us.
Yeah, it was very strange, and we had to deal with the new stuff that we never thought that we would have to deal with before. And for me, it wasn't so bad because I was in, I had some nice condition. Like for the first lockdown, I was here in south of France and it's in the countryside. So it was less stressful than being in a big city with many people. And here it was a bit more, it was calmer, I would say. So I spent the lockdown here. So it was quite nice actually to spend some time at home. I mean, we're not used to this, but of course we had to deal with the restriction. And during the first lockdown from March to May in France, it was a bit crazy. We had this 1 kilometer rule that we are not allowed to go further away around the house, and we were not allowed to go for more than 1 hour running. And so this was really strange. It was only once a day. Also, you were allowed to go out. So, but I tried to optimize everything for trainings, and I found a nice routine, and I think I could cope with the restriction quite well. So this was for the spring. And then summer was a bit nicer. We were allowed to do whatever we wanted, like as before. So I took some time to explore the mountains in France and do some nice orienteering as well, because during the first lockdown, of course, we were not allowed to do any orienteering. And then it was another lockdown in the fall, from I think it was October till middle of December. But for this lockdown, we were an exception. The elite athletes, we were allowed to like train how we had to. So like we were allowed to go further away than this 1 kilometer, and we were allowed to go for more than 1 hour. And we were also allowed to have some small training camps with the French team, with of course a big protocol and a PCR test and all this stuff. But so yeah, I think I will say that since May, it's not so bad for sports elites athletes. But if you are not in a French team in any sports, then you're not allowed to do anything. Mm. So that was a bit tougher for the one just outside of the French team, I would say.
Have you changed your way in acting because of this disease, this COVID-19? Are you afraid to get it?
Yeah, of course. I think if I can avoid having it, it's a bit better, because you never know how your body will react. Even if you're like, if you're healthy, we heard a lot of stories that also athletes got it and got a lot of problem. And since we are doing endurance sports, I think it's better if you can stay away from it. But I'm not like panicking every time that I'm going to the supermarket, or I'm trying to stay a bit calm. And I mean, yeah, of course, we had to reduce the social activities, but I think it's the same for everyone. So I'm not seeing so many people, like, yeah, trying to be careful about that. Mm. But we had to change the way of we live. I think one of the biggest thing is, maybe you can notice, like in France, when we say hi to someone, we always kiss on the cheek. And this has disappeared since the COVID. Yeah. I mean, I haven't, like, I would say kiss my family in almost a year now. And yeah, this is the, yeah, this was a big tradition in France, saying hi and kissing. And yeah, this has disappeared, but maybe that's a good thing.
maybe, but do you think it will come back, or?
I don't know if it will come back or not. It's hard to say. Yeah, probably definitely. we'll come back in the family circle, but maybe not with people outside.
Mm-hmm. But what did you miss the most in 2020? I mean, we have to change our lives, all of us.
Yeah. Maybe social activities, or like, of course, there was still some social activities and we can still see some friends, but every time we were wondering, okay, we are allowed to do it, but should we really do it? Like, you know, having this on your conscience, like all the time, okay, is it a good thing to do this or not? Like, is it a good thing that I go and say hi to my grandparents, or will I regret it? And I think this, yeah, I miss time when we didn't have to ask ourselves this question, like, is it a good thing or not to meet this person and meet this person? Yeah. And of course, like in orienteering, I miss so many stuff, like competition and being able to gather with the club and the friends, and traveling abroad as well. And all this kind of stuff. But I would say that, yeah, what I miss the most, it's when it was a bit easier to plan stuff as well. Like right now I'm planning stuff, but I know that there's a big chance that everything will get canceled. So yeah, I think I learned to be really flexible in 2020.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's the same with many of us, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
To be more flexible, it's a good word.
How is everyone it? Endured this.
Yeah, but how has it been? Have you struggling to keep up the motivation? Because of no competitions at all? International meetings, I mean?
Yeah, I didn't struggle so much, I think, because of the lockdown, our life was so different from the usual. So I couldn't like training the same way as I was before. So I think it was a bit easier to not think about the competition. I mean, if you were in a country without lockdown and training exactly the same as usual, then you were maybe missing the competition even more. But for us, it was just, okay, how I will like manage to optimize the training with the restriction that I have. And this was the challenge. And it wasn't so hard, I think, to keep the motivation. Like I was really motivated by, getting the most training out of the situation. And this, I think I managed it pretty well. And that was the goal for the lockdown. And then, okay, we'll see what happened next. And so it wasn't so difficult. I think the biggest difficulty was mostly in the fall. Because in the spring, it was, life was so mixed up, so up and down. So it was so different from the usual. So it was, we were discovering a new, I would say, way of living. But in the fall, when they started to announce that it was a second lockdown, then it was like, okay, we are going to do this all over again. And there it was a bit more tricky. But when they first canceled, they canceled gradually the competition. So I was always focusing on the next goal. Okay, this one is canceled, but there will be one in a month later. So then I was focusing on this one and I really wanted to be ready for the next one. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then when they canceled Euro meeting, that was the very last competition of the season. Then I got a bit of a breakdown in the motivation for a couple of weeks. It was like, okay, no, it's going again, all over again. But then I took a bit of a season break, even if it was no season. So I took some times off and I tried to relax and rest a bit. And then I was, motivation was high again. So no problem with that.
But was it possible in France to organize some national smaller competitions where you could participate?
Until July, it was not possible. And during the summer, there was this 5-day competition, OO Cup. And that was the first competition for everyone. It was maybe first week of August, something around that. So that was the first competition that we could have. And then there was 2 months, I will say August and September, there was some competition. But then after that, then everything got canceled again. So we had only this this OO Cup competition and one national weekend and then one regional competition that I took as a training. So that was the only thing that I could run in France for this year. But I could do some training camps in Czech Republic with the French team. I did twice 1 week of training camp. And this I really feel lucky about because not everyone got the chance to go there. So I could do a lot of orienteering from July till October. So that was nice. But I'm missing a bit the competition.
Yeah, of course. I think we all do.
Yeah.
Definitely. We cross our fingers for 2021 now.
Yeah, I really hope that there will be some happenings.
exactly. But let's take it from the beginning, Izia. Looking from outside, the family Bazet sounds like a really orienteering family, is it? Is it right?
It's funny because, we all start at the same time. Both my parents and us, the children. Like my parents, they were not doing orienteering when they were younger. And we all start around 2000s, 2001, when I was 7, 8 years old. And we all start at the same time. Both my parents and we are 4 kids. So And then it became a family business for all of us. Yeah. I think my parents really liked it. And I mean, my parents, they had 4 kids and it was nice to them to find an activity that we could all do together, like both of them and the 4 of us. I mean, Luca is the oldest and Juliette, she's 7 years younger than Luca. And it's not so often that you can find an activity that everyone can do at the same time. So I think that's why yeah, we got into it like when we were younger, and quite soon, yeah, we started to travel to every national competition, and then started to do some 5 days competition abroad and everything. And then Luca started to do it quite a bit more seriously, trying to get in the youth French team, and then everyone followed. So we all tried to, yeah, everyone took it a bit more seriously. Mm-hmm. And yeah, now it's the family passion.
Yes, I can understand it. But did you like it from the very beginning, or?
It's hard to remember, but I think the first year I didn't really like it because I was running this string courses when you're young and you have tapes all around the courses, and I think this I didn't really liked. But then when I started to do the real orienteering, like when I was a woman 10 and I started to like be on my own in the forest, then I started to really like it. And of course, when you are young, the most important is not really when you're in the forest, it's more like meeting friends and spending time with people in the arena. And I think this was what I liked the most in the beginning. And then I started to really love map reading, and then I started to really love running. But I mean, it was one step at a time. First getting to competition and meeting friends, then map reading, and then running, and then both of them, of course.
But how is it, Lyon? Is it a good spot for orienteering? Is it a lot of activity, maps, areas and such things?
I think the best with Lyon is like it's quite central in France. So we could go on during the weekend, we could go to many, many places without having to drive so far. So for that, Lyon is, it's probably one of the best places in France because no competition seems far away. But it's a big city, so you don't have so many forests nearby. Like when I was living in Gothenburg for a year, I was so impressed how many forests was so close by, and you could go in the forest by tram and by bike. And this in Lyon, it's not possible.
No.
There are some forests, but the nearest forests are at least 40 minutes away, and it's either really steep, either really green, so it's not so nice for orienteering. But if you drive like 1 hour, 1 hour 30, then you have many, many interesting places. So for a training day or a training weekend, then it's quite nice because it's close by. But during the week time, it's maybe not the best area. But yeah, the clubs are trying to do their best with what they have. So when I was younger, I train a lot in parks and cities and and this. And still I learned how to read the map. So I think it's possible.
Yeah. But in what age is would you say that you discovered that you had a talent for this with orienteering?
I don't know. I really took it step by step. So I don't know if there was 1 year when I realized, okay, I'm really good at this. It was every time I was climbing one step and like, okay, next year we'll try to climb these steps. But I think when I first went to my first JWOC in Poland in 2011, then I had some nice result that I wasn't expecting. And then I realized, okay, I really want to focus on trainings, and I really want to be involved in my training, and I want to see how far I can go with that. And then since 2011 I think I've been training a bit more and a bit more every year, and trying to involve a bit more in my training and be a bit more focused in this, and it's where it got me right now. How I got to where I am right now, one step at a time.
Yeah, exactly. But how is it? I mean, Luca Basé is a very strong orienteer in the men's side. How much has he, the impact from Luca on you, Isia, would you say?
Of course, I tried to follow his steps a bit, I think. When he was running for the French team for AIOC, when he was young, then I was, okay, I want to try to go there as well. And so, I mean, I think he showed me the way in many, many aspects of orienteering. But yeah, of course, I wasn't trying to copy him all the time, but no, still he was a bit, no. okay, Luca is doing this and maybe I can do this as well. And yeah, but yeah, then we... Yeah, we had quite a... Yeah, we were quite close during the, our studies because we were studying the same stuff. So we were in the same class from 2011 till 2018. We were in the same class in school. So we were seeing each other every day and we were like training a lot together and as well like preparing the same exams at the same time together. So it was... It was kind of fun to share this with my brother and to have this, the same journey.
Yeah, exactly.
But same schedule.
Yeah, exactly. Are you talking about training and plans and such things also that you are talking about it? I mean, you have your plans and he has his plans, but are you talking about it together?
Yeah. We share a lot. So right now he's not living in France anymore. So since a year, we haven't had the same, like, we didn't speak as much as before, but yeah, of course, when we were in the same class and having the same schedule, you know, preparing the same competition, then we were always, sharing, okay, this week we'll do this. And now I'm really nervous about this exam and like, either one was saying no, but you know, it would be fine. And the other one was saying the same. And so I think we were supporting each other both in training and in school as well. Mm. And it was a nice time. Mm. It was, some people think that it's weird, but I think it was fun.
Yes, but let's stay in France because orienteering, it's not the biggest sport in France.
Nope, not at
you
all.
You agree on that?
Yeah, I agree on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, it's true.
Yeah, but how is it? You travel a lot, you say, but can you find competitions all year round? Or normally, I mean now, but you can find competitions?
In France, it's usually competition are from around March till around... late October, beginning of November. So we don't have many competition in during winter. But during winter, then we have a lot of training camps with the French team. So it's fine to not have any competition. We can find orienteering anyway. Mm. But we have some competition, of course, and we have French championships that are really nice. And we have so many great terrains in France. So we have... great competitions, but of course it doesn't look the same as the Swedish national competition or even the Swiss national competition. I mean, it's a bit smaller and there's not so many people, but we have some fun competition as well.
But I mean, the French national team, you're working very seriously from my point of view. It looks like you're like a group working together really much in this French national team. Is this a heritage from Saint-Étienne, Thierry Chouchou? They found a way and you are now working very much in the same way, or?
Yeah, totally. I think it's, if we are where we are right now, it's... In a big part, thanks to Thierry, I think, and the way he saw elite orienteering and the way he convinced everyone to work in this on this path, you know. So having a lot of camps in really tricky area in France because we have a lot of really tricky terrain. Mm. So we spend during winter, we spend many weekends together training really difficult orienteering and. Doing many, many hours with a map, like running with the map. And I think it's thanks to him. And of course, when he was still living in France, he was in Saint-Étienne and there was this quite big training group that we still have this group, but now almost everyone is studying in Lyon instead. So the training group has a bit moved to Lyon. But we still train in the same area as they were training in the Pilat Mountains. It's close to Saint-Étienne. And we still have this group, even if, of course, it's not the same. But yeah, a lot of hours with the map and training together all the time and trying to have as many hours in orienteering as we can. And trying to optimize every, I mean, we know that we don't have as many, like, not money, but we have to optimize everything. And I think we do it quite well.
Mm.
Yeah.
But
put everything on the walk and preparing for work and really focusing on this. I mean, compared to other country, I think we go straight to the point. So we go only to work. And I mean, World Cups are like, it's competition on the way to work, but the whole preparation is on work because we don't have, I would say, money enough to prepare both for World Cups and for work. So we do it like straight to the point for World Championship. So it's, I think it's been working quite well for Thierry. And then after Thierry for Luca, even for myself. And that's one of our strengths. It's work preparation.
Yeah. But I think, Izzy, I don't know if you agree with me, but I think that you in the French national team spend more time together compared with the Swedish national team, Norwegian national team, and the big federation, big nations, really, you know, what they're orienteering. But I think you do.
Yeah, maybe. That's probably true. And it's, I think it's also because since orienteering is a small sport, I mean, in my club, for example, there are not so many people really training for orienteering. It's not like in Sweden, where in a club there will be so many people training for Timila and Nicola, and then you can share training with them. In France, it's mostly people for the French team that actually train orienteering during winter. So maybe that's why we spend a lot of time together. It's because if we want to have like a quality training camp, we need to have the people from the French team training with you, because then it's not so many people training for orienteering outside of the French team. So maybe that's why we spend a lot of time together. And it's also because the French team is a bit smaller than maybe all the other teams, so it's easier to gather all together.
Yeah, but you have been very successful.
Yeah, that's true.
Definitely.
Maybe we inspire all each other. I mean, when you train with the best in your country during the weekends, then you get really inspired and you get a lot of advice as well. And maybe you can improve quite well. That's what happened with me. Training a lot with Luca and Frédéric and Amélie Chatin as well. Then I could improve quite a lot. Bye. Seeing them at trainings.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about your training, Izzy. How are you working with your training plans, short term, long term? Are you working with a coach, and how are you working?
So I'm part of the training group that is in Lyon and Saint-Étienne, as I said before. And in this training group, there is one head coach that is also orienteering coach. It's Olivier Coupa. He's also the trainer for the junior national team. So I know him from many years now. And there's also a physical trainer that can he's taking physical training in charge. So like strength training and interval training and all this aspect of training. So they are doing a training plan for the whole year, and then for every week they send us the training plan for the training group. So then I have a lot of help from them in my training, even if I'm still planning my training myself. But then I can take this training. Okay, this week there will be this and this training. Okay, that's I'm interested in this training, so I will do them. And if it's if I don't want to do them, then I plan something else. But I get a bit of help from them. And there is also the national team coach, Charlie. So yeah, we also plan the whole season together and where to put the training camps and where to, how to prepare for the World Champs, final preparation. And so with Charlie, it's mostly like beginning of the season in November, we plan like the big competition and the big blocks, like, okay, training volume until here and then training camps and World Cups, World Championship. But then the closest I go to the World Championships, the closest we get, then I see with him like almost day by day. Okay, this day I will do this, this day I will do this. But it's only for the final preparation, maybe the last months I'm doing this. But otherwise I'm planning like training blocks. So 1 month block, 3 weeks of high volume training and high intensity, and then 1 week of rest. Like something like this. Of course, sometimes it's a bit less, sometimes it's a bit more, but it's around 1 month. And doing this until March. And then since usually the competition starts, then you have to be a bit careful with the training volume, trying to decrease it to get in shape and trying to find the best shape for the World Champs. But I will say that for this year, I've only planned until the end of the winter, because we have no idea actually what will really happen. Oh. And it looks like in France, it will be hard to get some national competition that I usually use as like preparation for the big one, the big competition. So I've planned only the winter and I will see how it goes. And because I don't want to plan right now and knowing that most of the competition will not happen or So that's how I do my training, and I also can have help from a mental coach that is working with the training group. So this I can use as well to prepare.
In what way are you working with this mental coach?
Yeah, you can work on like the same optimizing the training that you get, like how to get in the best mental aspect to like get the most out of the training. And then you can work also on trying to deal your emotion before a competition as well. And I think I will definitely do this, because it's been such a long time since I didn't have an important competition with a bit of pressure. And so if this happened and when it will happen in 2021, then I want to make sure that I will be able to handle it and not get too nervous about it.
Exactly. I mean, you're quite experienced. You have trained for quite many years now, very seriously. What have you experienced? What have you learned during this year? How much has your training changed through the years? What you have learned, experienced?
Increase the training, as I said, like one step at a time, 1 year at a time. But I really learn to be patient, I think, because for myself, I could sometimes get in quite nice shape during the winter and like having good feedback, like, okay, I'm in good shape and I have improved, and I hope that my result will improve as well. And then sometimes it didn't happen, like the result didn't improve. So then I was like, okay, I don't understand why, but I have to wait and be patient, because work will pay off one day for sure. I mean, so I've been learning how to be really patient about it, and trust the process, and still try to increase the volume every year, and try to go one step at a time. So this I've experienced it quite much. And I think I also had 1 year when I had a lot of trouble. It was 2019, because it was after the walk where I had a big success at the middle distance. And then in 2019, I was a lot injured, and that was the first time of my life that I had this big injury. So it was a hard year. And I had this previous result, and I really wanted to show that, okay, I can do it again. But this year it didn't happen, and I was really far away from having the same level as the year before. So yeah, this was a challenge. 2019 was a big challenge, but yeah, hopefully I will have a competition this year that will show me that I've faced the challenge and now I'm back in shape.
Yeah, definitely. But you should be quite aware about your strong sides and weak sides. I mean, the weak sides, what do you need to improve to take the next step easier?
I think it's the physical part. I'm still not the fastest. I'm working on it, but I'm not as fast as the best orienteers. So I've been working a lot on this, and during 2020, I could work on the physical aspect because, I couldn't do orienteering, but I could still go and run on roads. So then I really tried to focus on this, and I was like, okay, I don't want to lose 1 year. I want to be faster after the COVID than before. So this was a big motivation for me, and I think I improved a bit, but mostly what I improve is my confidence in being able to run fast or faster at least, because this was what I lost the most during the year when I was injured. It was I had no confidence at all in my capacity of running and running fast. So this I worked a lot on it, and I know that one of my really strong one of my strengths is that I'm quite good technically usually. So the trickier the terrain, the better for me. So I really need to be able to being really calm in my mind, and then I know that I can fight the control, and then I can have a good race like this. So but of course there's always things to improve technically as well, even if it's one of your strong sides. So I'm still trying to work on this, and there's a lot of work to do with the world champs in Czech Republic, because the terrain are so unusual. So there's a lot to do about it, about food choices and making those fast decisions. So I'm working on this.
Can you find similar relevant Czech terrain in France somewhere, because it's a big country?
The good thing is that we have many relevant terrain for middle distance. So the middle distance, it won't be any problem to find interesting terrain to prepare for it in France. But the sandstones, it's so unusual. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there is a place in the world that looks like this.
No, exactly.
But we're trying to find the closest, and maybe one part of France that is just a little bit similar. It's Fontainebleau. Mm-hmm. It's south of Paris, 1 hour south of Paris.
Fantastic because area.
Then it's the same kind of rocks with some sand on the ground, and so it could look a bit as the sandstones in Czech Republic, but it's not steep enough. So this is what we need to find. It's somewhere really steep where we can work on this. Steep uphills and really steep downhills as well, and this a bit flatter area in between. But so these sandstones, you really need to go on training camps in Czech Republic to prepare for it. But I've been spending time in Fontainebleau anyway, because since I know it's the closest, I'm trying to spend as many times as possible there. But it's not steep enough, really.
Now, and you are very serious right now, Izzy, about your orienteering career, because now you are a professional orienteer. So this is very serious from your side.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah, I was so motivated about orienteering. So when I finished my studies, I worked a bit full time in a company, and that was the same year as where I was injured. So it was probably linked, the injury and all the work. So after this year, I was much more motivated by orienteering than by finding a job. So I said, okay, why not try to only focus on training and see where you go with this. So this was 2020. And then the COVID happened, so I didn't had the chance to do any competition in this situation. So after after this year, I decided, okay, I will try to do the same for until the World Champs in Czech Republic. And then I will see if I do something else. But yeah, so right now I'm only focusing on the orienteering, and it's I really like it, actually. Being able to go on camps whenever you want and trying to focus on training.
But you need to live, you need some money. You see, how do you work with this support and economically, financially and such things?
I'm in survival mode. No. No, that's not true. I get a bit of help from the federation and how the French sports is organized. Then the government is trying to help the best athletes in every sport. So I get a bit of help with this. But of course, I'm not earning a lot of money and I cannot buy so many fancy stuff, I would say. But I'm fine with that for the moment. And we'll see where it goes. And I will probably not do this for 10 years, but maybe for a couple of years, it will be fine.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned briefly also that you were in Gothenburg for 1 year. You are representing IFK Göteborg, we know that, but you lived in Gothenburg for 1 year. How was it to adapt to the Swedish style of living?
It was awesome. It was so nice because it was so many opportunities with orienteering. So I was really happy about that. It was extraordinary. There was always a training to go that was, for myself, it was always so close. Oh, it's only 20 minutes drive. It's so close. So I was doing as many training as possible. And it was nice with a really big girls group as well to train with. So yeah, it was a really great year. I learned a lot during that year. I think I improved a lot as well. And of course, the winter was a bit cold, cold and wet.
Yeah.
But I survived it. So.
But what do you remember the most from Gothenburg? What's the best part of Gothenburg, would you say?
I think it was all the orienteering opportunities and so many people that were doing orienteering. It was crazy. I mean, I've never experienced that. There was so many people at every training and so many people to share mass starts, intervals, and this I never had before. So it was really, really nice.
Yeah.
This was the best. And I was also in Gothenburg the same year as the World Champs in Strömstad. So it was so nice to have many weekends there to train and so many people in the club involved in helping you preparing for this. So that was great. It was really great.
Definitely. Yeah. And now also it has been really a hot spot for the orienteering environment, Göteborg, because there's a lot of top runners are moving to Gothenburg because of the really good training facilities, maps and courses everywhere, every day.
Yeah, and not so much snow as well.
No, so exactly.
This is a nice thing about Gothenburg, is that you can basically run all year long. Yeah.
Let's go back to 2018, Isia.
Yes.
And the World Championships in Latvia.
Wow.
Wow.
It was great.
And a big, big smile. It was a fantastic day. It must have been for you, Isia.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh.
It was...
Was it a big surprise for you?
Yeah. I mean, everyone around me says that nobody wasn't such a big surprise, but still it was a big surprise. I mean, I've never been able to like put everything together at the same time in the same competition. And that year I could do it on this middle distance. And I mean, middle distance, it's my favorite. So I've been trying every year before that to like perform in middle distance, and it never worked the way I wanted I wanted it to work. And this year I could finally, yeah, with all the experience that I had before, and I could finally be really ready physically, mentally, and technically. And I would mostly say I was really ready mentally to face the challenge. And yeah, I did maybe one of my best race so far. And when I finished the race, I still didn't expect it to be such a top result. I knew that I had performed the way I wanted it to be, but I was thinking that it would be around top 10 position. So then when I was waiting at the leading chair and seeing so many girls arriving and being behind me, I was a bit shocked, I would say. But then, yeah, it was really nice. It was so nice. It was a nice way to, I was really, I was thankful because I've been focusing a lot on orienteering and I've been sacrificing a lot, and it was a nice results. I was really happy about it for me, but also for the whole French team and for the women's team, because I mean the boys has been really successful in the past, but not the girls. And we are trying to work on that a lot, but it's not easy every day.
No.
So I was really happy for myself, but also for everyone that's been working on this for many years. And
I was thinking the same, Isia, because the French team and the girls especially must have meant a lot to the girls in the French team, this medal for you, this bronze medal.
And for the staff as well, for the coaches, I think for everyone it meant a lot to realize that we could do it. Amélie had been so close in the past before. Amélie Chatin, she was seventh, and she was quite close, and she was focusing a lot on this and trying to be so close to the top. So it happened to me, so it was really nice, but I think it was a good way to thank everyone, every girl before me.
How often do you remember that day, Isia? Is it sometimes that you
It feels so far away right now because it was at a time when we had competition.
Correct.
but sometimes I think about it, and when I'm having a motivation breakdown, I just think about this day. It's like, okay, I want to have those feelings again. I want to be so satisfied and so proud of my race like this. So think about it sometimes when it's a raining day and you have to go through intervals, and you're like, okay, think about this time. And it was it was nice because my family was there, my parents was at the arena, and I could share it with them right away. So it was a very emotional day.
I can understand it. And you French people are so emotional also.
I don't know. I don't know if French people are more emotional than
maybe not.
I don't know.
No, I don't know. But
I mean, everyone know that I've been involved a lot in my orienteering career and putting a lot of time and sacrificing a lot. And so I think everyone was really happy that I could get a nice result.
Yeah.
Even if a medal was way more than what I was expecting.
And it must mean a lot also because now you have shown both for yourself and for everybody else, me included, that you can be on the podium. That must mean a lot now for goals in the future.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, in the French team, we are not so many girls, so we are trying to build up a group, but it's not so easy because there's not so many girls that are that really want to be involved in training and stuff. But I think it showed to many girls in France, but also in other countries, that I mean, they are the really, really top athletes, but sometimes they have bad days. And if you can have a really good day on their bad days, then it's possible to get medal. I mean, orienteering is a quite open sport, with the results, everything can happen. And it's nice to know that sometimes you can, there is a window open and you just have to take it, just have to go for it.
Yeah. Let's take a look now into this brand new year, 2021, and we cross our fingers once again that we will have the international competitions and everything, and especially the World Championships in the beginning of July. You are talking about the middle distance. Is it your main focus or sprint? I mean, now we have a sprint, we have long distance, we have middle distance, we have sprint relay and the forest relay in the Czech Republic. It's a really tough week. How are you focusing and about this VOK week in the summer, Izia?
I haven't decided anything about the program. I know that I won't run everything because then the week will be a bit too much, I think. So I haven't decided yet. So right now I'm training for everything. And I will decide a bit later in the spring which distance I'm, I will not run or which one I will run. But yeah, definitely I'm sure that I will run the middle distance because I still really like it. And middle and forest relay, this I know for sure. And then I will see how the shape is and if everything goes well with the training or not. And if I want to focus on sprint at World Champs or not. And I've been focusing on every distances in the past, so I don't know about this year. I will see how it goes with the first competition, but definitely trying to train for everything right now. Even if sprint orienteering has been quite tough to train this year because of the COVID, we were not allowed to gather in public areas, so we didn't dare to train sprints because we didn't want to have problem with the municipalities and the neighborhood and all this kind of stuff. So I've actually run the first sprint training last week since a really long time. But hopefully now it will be a bit easier to organize sprint training so we could be able to train in the cities as well as in the forest. But so I'm focusing on both right now, and I will decide after AOC, I think, what I will really aim for at World Champs.
What kind of dreams and goals do you have for your future career, Izia? Can you share it?
I'm actually focusing one season at a time. So right now I'm only focusing on 2021, and at the end of the season I will decide what I will aim for in 2022. But I think for this year, I want to be able to have some races that I'm really proud of, and being able to put everything that I know how to do, like physical, technical, mental. I want to have some races where everything goes well on the three aspects of the competition. And we'll see what results it brings. I'm not aiming for any... I mean, it's not because I had a medal in 2018 that I'm I need to have another medal. I just want to have clean races and really good races. And if it brings another medal, then I will be super happy. But if it's just a top 10 position, then I will be okay. If I did everything I could, then I will be really happy about it. But I want to stabilize my results a bit higher up in the results because... I didn't have so many top 10 position before, and I think that's mostly what I should be aiming for this year. And if it's a bit better, then it's a bonus.
And finally, this speaker's corner is a part of the build-up for the World Cup event at Idefjäll in Sweden in mid-August. Have you been to this part of Sweden anytime, Izia?
Nope. Never. Never been so further north in Sweden. So that will be a new challenge. I think the further north that I've been was maybe Tirmila in Falun. So not so much north compared to the size of Sweden. So that will be a new challenge, new terrain. And I'm so excited to discover this this area. It looks really, really cool, and the maps looks really, really interesting. It will be tough to prepare for it in continental terrain France, but I will try to do my best.
Yeah.
Find some brown somewhere.
Definitely. But this is the best part of this wonderful sport of orienteering.
Yeah.
Experience yeah, exactly. New places, new woods, new maps and everything. That's fantastic.
Yes, exactly. And adapt to any kind of situation and try to do your best with what you know, what to do. And it's going to be really nice. Hopefully.
we cross our fingers for 2021. It was a great pleasure. So nice to meet you, Isia.
Thank you. It was a great pleasure for me as well.
And I wish you the best of luck this 2021.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.